In 1 Samuel 17:29, David looked at Goliath, who was mocking God's people. And as he looked at him, he saw Israel just falling back. And he looked at him, saying, getting mocked completely, as they mocked God's people constantly. And he asked, "Is there not a cause?" With the mighty army of Israel quaking in fear, David sacrificed his safety, relied on God, and dispatched God's great enemy. So ridiculous was the scene of this little shepherd boy coming with no armor, with a sling and five small stones, that Goliath looked at him and mocked him as he was standing there, fully armored, with a large sword that most people couldn't even lift, and seeing this little boy coming at him. "This is the best you got?" And he thought he was going to kill him. But God empowered David to defeat this mighty man of war. This man skilled in the best armament of the day. This man who had killed so many. And allowed David to use just one stone, hit him right there, and put him down and let him be beheaded. God expects us to move forward with what we have for him, not with what we expect the world to have. Whatever we have for him, that's what God will use. And he will do the rest, and that's what we need to remember. I ask you, in any town today, is there not a cause to defeat Satan's Goliaths, which are trying to tear down God's people constantly for God's glory? With the right attitude, today's warriors can be just as powerful as David. Years ago, it was a custom for people to bring their gifts to the front of the church. A well-known preacher was making an appeal to the people to give for a good cause. Many came to present their offerings of love. Among them was a little crippled girl who hobbled along at the end of the line. Pulling a ring from her finger, she placed it on the table and made her way back up the aisle. After the service, an usher was sent to bring her to the preacher's study. The preacher said, "My dear, I saw what you did. It was beautiful. But the response of the people has been so generous that we have enough to take care of the need. We don't feel right about keeping your treasured ring, so we've decided to give it back to you." To his surprise, the little girl vigorously shook her head in refusal. "You don't understand," she said. "I didn't give it to you. I gave it to God." This little girl was rather insulted. Asking her to sacrifice? "You mean my sacrifice isn't good enough?" She wanted to make sure that she sacrificed what she had for the glory of God, and I'm sure that God gave her a great blessing for it and blessed that church because people gave in faith. Now, today we look at sacrificial giving. This is giving beyond tithes and offerings to advance a certain cause. By definition, it is sacrificial. By definition, it may even hurt. But it is to advance some cause for the glory of God from the church. It teaches you to trust God that he will provide what you need. Now, sacrificial giving does not care for the amount of money given. It is the amount of sacrifice that you give that will be blessed by God to further the work of the church and to bless you. We know the cause in Claremont and Newport is great, and we built a church because of that. We see the fields waiting to harvest still. God has given us a building to house his glorious church. We now have an opportunity to improve it for his glory. With faith, God will provide in his way, in his time, to make sure that everything is done here if we follow him. We need to pray, respond, and stand back and be amazed. I've been amazed already in this church at what has happened. And quite frankly, so has the town. We are a very small church facing a very large project with probably more to come. What can I do in light of such a big expense? Anyone have a checkbook that they pay for the parking lot and one just right now? Won't have to worry about this at all. I'll preach something else today. That's not how God operates. So what can I do in light of such a big expense? My earnings are so meager. Can they possibly make any difference? Well, let's look at what Christ did with the sacrificial gift of one very small lad. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, verse 34 to 44. Excuse me. Everyone's having problems tripping over the tongue today. So, Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 34. and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And he sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Dear Heavenly Father, we see the great and glorious miracles that you provide for your people. We see what you can do with the faith of a mustard seed, how we see such great and glorious works. But Lord, we have to have that faith. And Lord, you teach us that faith by having us operate. And Lord, the more we do, the more you teach us. And the more we glorify your holy name, and the more you bless us. And Lord, let us understand that you have the cattle in 1,000 hills. And if we go by faith, by your will, that you will provide and you will make things happen. But Lord, we have to have the faith. Give us that faith. Have us understand what it takes to do exactly what you want us to do. And Lord, let us in faith have the joy of knowing that you are with us. We ask it in your precious son's dear name. Amen. Now, faced with a seemingly impossible task, quite frankly, the disciples did what the rest of us would. You want us to take what we don't have to give to everyone else. How is that possible? They basically mocked Jesus. The amount they were talking about, the 200 penny worth, that's about 6 month wages for the apostles. Jesus was about to teach them a lesson in the provisions of God. Yeah, I'm asking you to give 6 months worth of wages that you don't have and give it to everybody. But to see that power, you have to start. If you don't start, you'll never see that power that Jesus can deliver. Relying on him would allow Jesus to do the absolute impossible. Was there a cause? Yes, there was hunger out in the ranks. Were there things to give? Yes, there were things to give. And then with those things to give, what did Jesus do? 5,000 men. They figure the crowd was probably about 15,000 when you count women and children. So with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus was able to feed 15,000 people. Not only did he feed 15,000 people, he had 12 baskets left over. One basket for every apostle there. We see what God can do with a very minimal amount of faith. So now let's look at the parking lot that God has blessed us with. As I said, when we started this, I didn't expect to be looking at paving this. God delivered us a quote that was just unbelievably low. He provided an opportunity. So is there a cause? Yes. A testimony to God's grace and safety as we go further with his cause. Do we have the ability to give? Most definitely. If we sacrificially give, who knows what God may unleash in this area? We may see a great revival. We may grow so much that we may have to buy that lot next door that's for sale that they just cleaned out for us to build another church. Who knows? I don't know what God's going to do. Only God does. Now, sacrificial giving is just that. It's sacrificial. Giving until it hurts. I ask you, do you really believe in revival in Newport? If you do, what are you willing to sacrifice to see it? What is a soul worth? It may be a small amount, but that small amount gives Jesus something to touch and to increase and to multiply. From John's account, Philip looked at the enormity of the task and gave up. Impossible. We can't do it. The little boy from the same account just gave all that he had. Jesus honored the boy's faith and taught Philip and the apostles a lesson. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide, but he demands us to do our part. If we believe he's going to provide, we need to give him the opportunity to do exactly that. We need to have the faith to make sure that we know that he is in charge. Now, the tithe is the Lord's. It provides for the operations of the church. Offerings are for missions and other programs. Giving for them should be systematic. Talked before, if you vote for a missionary, what you're saying is you are voting to support that missionary. So the offerings are to be every week to give to a certain thing above the tithe of the church. Today, once again, we look at the power of sacrificial giving. Giving to God in such a way that actually makes us feel uncomfortable. Giving God a chance to act on our faith and bless us beyond measure. Giving us the chance to feed 5,000 men in a Newport and Claremont area the bread of life. When we look at sacrificial giving, now, we have Kenny and his family here. It would operate the exact same way up there if there's a cause up there. When you look at sacrificial giving, you've got to look at three things. You give what you can. You give orderly, and you give until God has blessed. So giving what you can. Remember what Jesus told the apostles about the roughly 15,000 people. Give ye them to eat. He did not say feed everybody at once. He was sitting there with nothing yet, and then he was sitting there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Sacrifice what you have and start. That's what faith is. Was this an impossible task? How many here you think we could feed? Where's Angie? There's Angie. Can you feed 15,000 people with 5 loaves of bread?
Nope.
Big loaves. So, we see the enormity and the impossibility of the task. But here's the deal. He split them up in small things. And he said, give them to eat. So he break them up. He had 5 loaves. 12 apostles. He had to actually have half loaves to give the apostles. Here's the apostles. They're coming down. Okay, how am I going to do this? This is ridiculous. This is not going to work. Okay, you want some fish and some bread? Okay, here you go. I still got some left over. Okay, here's some fish. Here's some bread. We only had 2 fish. All I got is a tail left. Here's some fish and some bread. Oh, you got his tail, sorry. And he walks, and as he's doing it, he's looking down, same amount. This does not make sense. I don't understand what's happening, but I'm going to keep going. And as he operated in that faith, it kept increasing. It kept going. I don't know what it looked like. I wasn't there. All I know is, at the end, the apostles all had baskets left over. There are 12 apostles, 12 baskets left over. They're looking at this meager start, and they had more at the end than they had at the beginning after feeding 15,000 people. Angie would love that program. So, Christ's focus was on the mission at hand. Phillips was on the enormity of the task. I can't do it. He was right, and the apostles were right. By themselves, it was an impossible task. But he should have started right away and did exactly what Jesus said so Jesus could do what he wanted him to do. Now, once again, we remember, God does not bless the amount. If Bill Gates was to come in here and says, hey, I'm going to just pay for your parking lot, that's great. There'd be no sacrifice for him at all. None. Zilch. Zero. But if someone else says, I can give you $5 because I have $10 and that's all I have, God would bless that much more greatly because you have actually sacrificed something that you didn't have to pay for it. We need to remember, God does not bless the amount. He blesses the amount of sacrifice. Jesus praised the meager gift of the widow's mite in Mark 12, 41-44, not because it was such a huge amount. It was because she gave of all she had. It was a great sacrifice. Now, 2 mites, that's 2 pennies. You're not going to buy one of Angie's loaves for 2 pennies. Not going to happen. But he blessed that because she was giving a supreme sacrifice. Rely on rich man, God's going to let you build all on your own. Sacrificially give, God will open the windows of heaven for his cause. Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 38 for a second. This is often used
for the prosperity preachers. That's not what God is saying here. He's not talking about he's going to bless you with all kinds of money. But listen to what he will bless you with. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God will bless you greatly. God will take
that God will take what he's what you've given to him, increase it like he did with the loaves and the bread, and make sure that you get it back. Now, is that going to be money? It might be. It's whatever God determines that you need for a blessing. It's a spiritual blessing, not a physical. Now, if you give, and you, all of a sudden you had a bill come up, maybe God will give you the money to pay the bill. Maybe he'll give you the blessing. Maybe he'll teach you things. I don't know what the blessing is. This is not the prosperity gospel. It is realizing that what you've done, God has taken, and God has used for a great and mighty cause, and that you're getting a spiritual blessing for it, and realize that your labors are not in vain. Now, how many here want to be part of God's glorious plan? Yeah? That's what he's talking about. You will be part of that plan, and he will take whatever you gave him and mightily increase it, that you can see your labors doing something for the gospel of God. Jesus used the sacrificial gift of a lad to teach and amaze the apostles. That little lad was willing to give all he had for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then he had a front row seat on the power of God. Everybody fed with 12 baskets left over. This little boy got to see the apostles have lunch the next day based on the bread he gave after he fed 15,000 people. That's a great blessing. Didn't say that boy went home and had a whole lot of bread left over. The blessing was just seeing the power of God work in front of him, the power of teaching the apostles. He had part of teaching those apostles how to be proper apostles. What would have happened if the child held on to his food? Agreed with the apostles, this can't happen. I'm going to hold on to my food, I'm hungry. Jesus would have had nothing to bless. The people would have gone hungry, and the apostles would have missed the power of Jesus working on their behalf. Now, what happens if nobody here in Berea gives sacrificially? Jesus will have nothing to bless. Newport will go hungry. The bread of life will not be multiplied. And our church will not see the power of God working in our behalf. But you say, you know, I make $1,000 a month with $875 expenses. I tithe $100 and I give $25 to mission. Let me see, how many of you are good in math? That leaves zero. What can I possibly sacrifice? There is nothing there. I have less than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How can I possibly give anything? Well, in this case, you can still show love to Jesus by sacrificing. The little girl gave her a ring, a prized possession. Now, can you still sacrifice? Well, every day you go out and you buy 2 cups of coffee. Buy 1 cup and give the, if you go to Starbucks, the $5 to the church the next day. If you eat a meal a week out, instead, don't eat, cook at home and give God the amount that you would normally give to the meal. If you have things you don't need anymore, sell them and give them to the church. Each of these are sacrifices. Each of these are giving up something you enjoy or feel you need to further the cause of Christ. That is a sacrifice, and God will bless that greatly because you are showing that you are placing the importance of his church over the cup of coffee that you had. But you say, the only thing I can possibly give God for the entire program is $10. 10 measly bucks. They can do absolutely nothing out there with $10. I can't even put gas in the truck for that. What did God do with 2 fish? To please God, each of us must sacrifice something and not rely on the gifts of others. When David caused a plague in Israel by numbering the troops, he was told to buy the threshing floor of Ornan to build an altar to stay at. Ornan heard about this. Ornan was doing fine. Ornan said, David, live forever. I have the threshing floor. This is where you're going to have to do the sacrifice to stay the plague. I will give it to you. David refused that. He said, I will not give to God, I will not sacrifice anything to God that does not cost me something. Good lesson for us. To be a sacrifice, there has to be a cost. Do not worry about the amount you give. Remember the widow's mite. It is what you sacrifice for him that pleases him and draws him to bless the vision. So the next thing is to give orderly. Sacrificial giving is not some exuberant, wild spree of giving, seeing who can outdo the other. It's not to be shown even to others. It's between you and God. It's sensing a need and giving something to meet that need. As Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, it is taking up your cross and following him who gave the ultimate sacrifice. I sense his cause, I will put my sacrifice in his cause and give it to him and let him bless it and multiply it. It's up to him how he uses it. He's not going to waste it. He may not use it the way I would think we would use it, but he's not going to waste it. I'll trust him. To be effective, sacrificial giving must follow the words of 1 Corinthians 14:40. let all things be done decently and in order. Do not add a sacrificial gift to your tithe. It's not to pay the light bill or my salary. Our sacrificial giving right now is to bring glory to the church in his parking lot. So, give to the parking lot fund if it is part of your sacrificial giving, because that is the cause that you are giving to. It's a specific cause that can be handled and measured. Remember, what did Jesus do? He broke the people into groups. Why? Because the apostles could all measure the amount of blessing they were getting. They could see God working. We need to make sure that we don't just go, oh, sacrificial giving, let's give everything. It needs to be measured against a certain task. Our giving will be in small groups to see if God's blessing along the way for each task he puts in our way. Giving our tithes and offerings come from our increase. We don't borrow money to give to the church. God won't bless the gift if we borrow money to give to his cause. That only teaches us to put off for a day the sacrifices. We need to be cheerful givers about the great bounty he's given us, giving back some of the great blessings he's given us that we may see his cause be advanced. We give based on how he has blessed us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 12 to 15. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that the other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written. He that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Once again, your sacrificial gift is between you and God, not man, not the church. It is not to be compared with others. It's based on what you have. Now, it's not an amount, once again. What am I giving up to further the cause of God that he may multiply and bless it? To be effective in the church must sacrifice. It is critical that each one of us sacrifices for the cause. Remember, he looks at the heart, not the amount. If all you can possibly give for the whole program is $5 total, you have just given Jesus something he can multiply and bless. Once again, what did he do with two measly fish? But if you hold your $5, I can't possibly do anything with this. He has nothing to multiply, and he feels you mocking his power as Philip did when he said, what do you want to do? Use buy 200 penny worth of bread that we don't have? At that point, you're mocking him if you feel that he can't do anything with your quote-unquote measly gift. Your lack of faith will leave a hole in his great cause. The people in Newport and Claremont may go hungry because of it. To reap bountifully, we're called to sow bountifully. Pray to God to see what he would have you give that you may reap his blessings. And once again, pray to God for that. He may provide you with something to give to show his blessings. I'm not God. I can't tell you how he's going to do it. That's why you pray to him and not to me. So, you give orderly. Then you give until he has blessed. Sacrificial giving is not something we're not going to do for the next 10 years. That's not orderly. That's not decent. It is made for a specific cause. The lad gave his increase sacrificially. Jesus blessed, broke it, handed it out. The cause seen, the sacrifice made, 15,000 people were fed. The lad did not come back the next day with more fish and more bread. The cause was done. Sacrificial giving was finished. That's all he needed to do. A church must only call for sacrificial giving if the cause is just and from God. It should not be used just to fill coffers. Now, I don't like to have large bank accounts in the church because it shows we're relying on money and not God's blessings. And sacrificial giving should not be made to increase the coffers of that church. God told Moses to call for sacrificial giving when he built the tabernacle. Turn back to Exodus chapter 35, 4 through 5. So Exodus chapter 35, looking at verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. He's asking for a sacrificial gift. And notice, it's from a willing heart. Don't twist their arm. Make it a willing heart that we may see God bless the cheerful giving of God's people. It was voluntary and over what was called for by the law. As the people were in the midst of giving to this great cause, something amazing happened. I'd love to have to happen here. Turn over to Exodus chapter 36, verses 2 to 7. Exodus chapter 36, starting in verse 2. And Moses called Bezalel and Haloiah and Aholiel, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment that they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. How many Baptist churches have you ever heard say, stop giving? That's exactly what Moses did. He called for a sacrifice, the people responded, God blessed the sacrifice, and they had enough. Sacrifice is over. That's the purpose of sacrificial giving. It's not to fill the coffers, it is for a specific cause. God had blessed, cause finished, stop sacrificing. Give like you normally gave just for the tithes and offering. So, we're asking for sacrificial giving for the first time here in 6 years. There are people who sacrificially gave when we built this building, but we didn't call for specifically. Last time we called for sacrificial giving specifically in his church was when we bought the land over at Pine Street. God blessed it, we got it, and then God used that to allow us to buy this property. The money is needed to further improve God's tabernacle. If God multiplies, maybe we'll be forced to restrain our members from giving. Or maybe God will give us another blessing to sacrifice for later. We don't know how he's going to operate. Again, I'm not God, he is. I don't want his job, I'm not qualified. Cause is great. A church on the move to show the way of salvation to the people of Newport and Claremont. The way is clear. We pray that Jesus will break his living bread from our giving and give the bread of life to the people of Newport and Claremont. 5,000 men plus women and children? Sounds about right. That's what I'd love to see here in Newport and Claremont. We will see how he multiplies the sacrifice as we move forward. Again, the sacrifice is not necessarily money. Sacrifice is not necessarily a beautiful parking lot. The sacrifice is God's blessing to the people to show us that our labors are not in vain for his service. We await for his blessings, and we look forward to his miracles. God wants us to enjoy his gifts. He also wants us to show that we know that his cause is greater than anything he gives us. He gives us opportunities to show we love him more than the material blessings he gives us. When we're done with the cause, we enjoy his gifts all the much more. So, once again, is there not a cause? If there is no cause, do not give sacrificially. Just continue to faithfully give your tithes and offerings that you may please God with your obedience. But if you agree that there is a cause in Berea, one that God wants to further bless to bring the gospel of Christ, one in which the proper accoutrements of his house of prayer should bring more people in, this is the time to sacrificially give to God. Once again, do not worry about the amount. Accept what God has laid on your heart. $100,000 is not a sacrifice to Bill Gates. $5 may be a sacrifice to somebody here. $5 might not seem like much, but I can buy 5 loaves of bread. I can't buy them from Angie, but I can buy 5 loaves of bread for $5. Well, the cheap stuff down there, the day-old stuff. With another $5 from a widow, I can buy 2 fish. Look what Jesus did with that amount. You sacrifice a little thing, God can bless it and multiply it greatly. Today I'm asking you to go home and pray for what God would have you to sacrifice. All can give something. If the church is to be successful, all must give something. It is the only way Christ can bless, break, and multiply his gift. We give him nothing, he has nothing to break, nothing to bless, nothing to increase. Next week, bring your sacrifice and mark it for the parking lot fund. And we will only use it for that purpose. God will bless it and multiply it as he chooses. And God will bless you for it. And we will move forward as he wants us to move forward. Make no mistake, God blesses sacrificial giving. A wealthy elder in a church once served, that we once served used to quote the phrase, "You can't outgive God." His remark was reminiscent of another generous steward who, when asked if he was not in danger of beggaring himself through multiple gifts, he replied this, "Not at all. I shovel out, and God shovels in, and he uses a bigger shovel than I do. And God started shoveling before I did." If God calls you to do something, he will provide. Now, he's not going to provide everything to make you comfortable, but he will provide. And he'll show you that he is blessing what you are doing. Now, when we first bought that land in Pine Street, I said, we called for sacrificial giving. Mary and I gave $500 a week sacrificially for 2 months over and above the tithe. The amazing thing was, Mary said, with no money coming in, no more money coming in, us putting that out, she looked at the bank account, it was identical after we were done 2 months. How did that happen? I have absolutely no idea. None at all. God blessed us in that way to show us that he was providing. Is he going to bless you? I have no idea. He'll bless you, but he'll do it in his way to show you his power, to show you his grace, to show you that your labors are not in vain. You will be blessed. I'll tell you that right now. Because God is the one who promises the blessing. Don't believe me. Believe his word. That's where it comes from. And with that, that pastor's getting pushy there, looking at verse 3, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." He's not asking you for everything. He's asking you for a certain amount of sacrifice to teach you how to be blessed by him. Don't make a decision right now about what you might give. Go home, pray, ask God what he would have you give, pray that God would then provide the amount, and then give it. That's how God will bless you. Not to try to show God. You can't outgive God. That means you can't show him that you're going to try either. Go pray and ask God to give you the wisdom of what it takes to sacrifice for this. And then God will bless his church and he'll bless you for it. But the one thing is, if you've never been saved, if you give anything here, it's not going to do you any good at all. If you've not been saved, all you're doing is giving money to some charity. You're only giving to God if you've accepted that free gift of Jesus Christ. So as we go to prayer today, ask for God to bless his church. Ask yourself, have you ever accepted that free gift? Because if you haven't, I'm wasting my time up here. Make today the day of salvation. Make the day you understand that he has offered everything, that he has the cattle on a thousand hills, and he will provide and bless you. After that, then you can go to ask him for the wisdom, and he'll give it to you. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, first of all, thank him for the salvation, or ask him how to be saved, and come up here and I'll show you. And then ask God, what would he have you to give? And then, as I said, go home today and ask that same thing. And then I'll close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are the God of the universe, creator of all things, creator of heaven and earth. You sent your son to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to save this miserable sinner that's praying to you right now, to save this miserable sinner and show your glory, your power to him. And Lord, I've seen your power. I stand amazed at the things that I've seen, at the miracles I've seen. I stand amazed at what we read today about you feeding 15,000 people with 5 measly loaves and 2 measly fish. And Lord, I realize that that cattle in 1,000 hills, that's nothing to you, and that you can provide everything. Lord, give us wisdom to know how we can serve you. Give us wisdom to know how we should give to make this church grow, to draw people in, to show people that this is a church that's on the move. This is a church that is serious about serving you. And this is a church that wants to see people saved and grow. And Lord, bless the labors that we do. And if there are labors that you did not draw us into, make those fail. Draw us into the ones that you have already called us to do. Because we want to serve you in spirit and truth and do what your will is in everything. If there's anybody here who's not saved, Lord, anybody here who's never accepted that free gift, let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day that they're born again. Let today be the day they realize that they have a God in heaven that will provide everything they need and has already provided in heaven a place for them to dwell with you forever. Now, Lord, let us go and let us go forward in this week and let us show your testimony to a lost and dying world that we may see more people gloriously saved for your glory. We ask all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.